he goes, and the pitch swung on deep right field. Forget about it. That one's not coming back. A two-run shot for Bryce Harper. His second of the afternoon, his 28th of the year, and the Phillies close the Mets' lead to one. It's 4-3.
All right, well, that's going back to Saturday, of course. I'm waiting for, you know. There he is. Got to make way for Big Jim. Who is Big Jim Seltzer? Not Jim Morrison. Jim Croce.
There it is.
But Jim Morrison, even greater. And Croce was great. All right, 215-592-9494. Of course, Bryce Harper better than all of them. Well, I don't know. Maybe Jim Morrison. All right, so let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. We saw a lot this weekend with the Phillies, which is why we have the Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. John, the poll question. How do you think people voted on this one? Other than getting close to winning the division, which clearly the Phillies are now very close and will definitely get done, what was the biggest thing that stood out to you this weekend with the Phillies? Three choices, John. Which do you think won the poll? A, Harper's power returning, that being the second of two homers in that game. B, Nola struggling as he did mightily on Friday, and it's kind of adding up a bit here recently. And C, Christopher Sanchez being outstanding on Saturday. And in a good way, that's adding up lately. John, which do you think won the poll?
It's got to be Bryce. It's got to be Bryce Harper. The power is back, and it was so decisively back with the 2-1 game.
Well, it did win the poll, but not by a ton. So Bryce, 44%. Nola struggles, 36%. And Sanchez being great, 20%. Guys, the Nola thing, I mean, they got to get him right. Now, we saw this last year. If you remember, and I don't know, Seltzer, was it right when the playoffs started?
Yeah,
he got better in September.
It was like the last start or two before the playoffs. Remember, he made the quote-unquote mechanical adjustment that we latched onto
and
ended up mattering? Yeah.
And it mattered a lot. He got really good again really quickly. So, all right, we'll see. And, of course, you know, when it's not a game day, we'll be talking more about the Phils and who should be the second starter and who should be the third starter, who should be the fourth starter, because you got three different options behind Wheeler. Here's the only thing we know for sure. Rangers not getting the second game.
No.
Okay, so like initially the question was who should get the third game, Ranger or Sanchez? Now the question is who should get the second game between Nola and Sanchez? And then it's like, well, okay, if it's Nola, then does Sanchez get the third game or does Ranger get the third game? So a couple of things for Rob Thompson to figure out before the playoffs. All right, John DeFilippo in studio with us. We'll get his thoughts on Carson in a moment. Phone calls as well. By the way, James, how many times through the years, and I'd say more after 2017, did the name John DeFilippo come up on our show where people would lament that he was no longer here?
Nonstop, honestly. I guarantee you there has been no quarterback coach in the history of this city who's within like a thousand mentions
hated
of John.
Josh McDaniel.
But,
you know, because he left.
No, but not, yeah. But not here. No. Oh, blame McDaniel.
Blame McDaniel,
yes,
for Reichle.
Yes.
So, all right, so let's just tackle.
He was glued. John DeFilippo and Frank Reich were glued. Just like on the playground, you'd be glued when you were picking
their names
teams
were
with
said
some
together.
Kids. Yeah. We glued you with Frank, and we perceived you with Frank. We viewed you with Frank as the reason, above all else, that transition was made seamlessly.
So here's the thing.
Our quarterbacks were playing the way they needed to.
Why couldn't the sequence, John, have just been different? I mean, frickin' Indianapolis hires, as Rhea just said, frickin' McDaniels, whatever the heck guy's name is. If they'd just taken Reich first, then you could have been the OC here instead of having to go to Minnesota.
Yeah, you know.
You would have been, right?
You never know how those situations are going to play out.
Yep.
I mean, you'd think so. You'd think so. I think that was the next line of succession. I don't know. I've never asked that question. It's weird the way things play out, and we talk about situations and those things like that. And probably going to Minnesota was probably not my best decision I've made in my coaching career. As a person that, in, if you think, most of us all think we're most good people and you can work with anybody, and that's not always the case. It's just not. And in the National Football League, there's some ego there, and there's some things, and that, I'm not saying that there aren't some things I would have done differently as the offensive coordinator of the Vikings as well. But that being said, it just the the philosophical differences between Mike Zimmer and I just ended up to be probably bigger than I anticipated. We tried to do what he wanted to do, but you have an $84 million quarterback, you have a $15 million tight end in Kyle Rudolph, you have Stephon Diggs that was making a ton of money,
yeah.
You got Adam Thielen, you got Dalvin Cook coming out of the backfield with the 32nd, ranked offensive line. Now, Pro Football Focus is a piece of judging things, but we've all seen throughout the course of time, if you're struggling up front at times, and I could have done a better job of helping those guys out, when you're struggling up front, it's hard to get the play started sometimes.
Yeah.
And because we were struggling running the football, we used a quick passing game and smokes and those things to get the ball out and kind of create that part of the run game. And it just didn't work out. And just looking back and self-scouting yourself like we always do in all of our careers, that probably wasn't the best decision to go to Minnesota.
Well, okay, so let's tackle
the... And I was happy for the Saints that they dropped a ton of points on Mike Zimmer this weekend.
Yes, he was!
I love it!
He could have a future as a talk show host.
We were
those
all happy, too, let me tell you.
All right, so...
Yeah, I didn't shed any tears on that one.
All right. I like it. All right, so let's talk about Carson for a sec, because when you go there, that's when things with Carson start to unravel. So obviously this is from afar for you at that point. But, I mean, look, there was two main questions I was really curious with you coming in here today. One, how'd you get Foles right before the playoffs? The other is, what happened to Carson Wentz? Well, I mean, he was so good, and then he wasn't, and it took a couple years to fully devolve. But what the heck happened?
You know, I think this city before our Super Bowl victory was so wanting that and wanted to be a Super Bowl city. And Carson was playing so good. I mean, let's call it what it is. He was going to be the MVP of the league.
No question.
I mean, it, in my opinion, probably unanimous. Okay, that's how good he was playing. And some of the plays that he made throughout the course of that season were incredible. So the bar for him was set very high to begin with. All right, because of that year. And you could see it coming in 16. He had a really bad game against Cincinnati on the road in that rainy day in 16. But other than that, he played pretty steady throughout the course of his rookie season, and there was a lot to be hopeful for. So you come into 17, and he starts playing well and all those things, and we're playing really, really well as a team. And then the injury happens in L.A., and not a lot of people know this, but he had a little bit of a thigh bruise going into that game. And, I was up in the box, and he got hit on – I just thought when he got up and was limping a little bit, he'd gotten hit on the thigh. And so, as we were communicating over the headset, hey, is Carson okay? Oh, he's limping a little bit, this and that. Well, he stays in and throws a touchdown pass to Alshon.
Yep.
Okay, and which was an unbelievable play by him.
Now, let me just say this before you continue. You may not have seen it from the booth. I don't know. We, watching on TV, could see on his face that something was seriously wrong.
There was some concern. Yeah.
Really concerned.
His knee buckled when he planted to get north. Mm-hmm. He planted his right foot, and you could see it buckle a little bit. That's when I became concerned when I saw it on the replay. I think then we all know what happens. Nick goes in and performs well, and there's a statue of him in front of the link. There's a lot of pressure on guys. There is. There's a lot of pressure. Nick is beloved by this city, as we all know, what's going on tonight at the game.
Of course.
So that's a lot of pressure on a young man. And Carson's still a young guy at the time. He really is. And coming from a smaller program, at North Dakota State, small town in upper Midwest, hadn't been in the SEC to feel that type of pressure before. Hadn't been in the Big Ten to feel that type of pressure before. And I'm not saying you couldn't handle it. But we all handle those situations differently. And I think Carson did press to come back probably a little bit too early. Guys, and John, you well know this, you played. There's a difference between being physically ready to play and plus physically and emotionally ready to play, coming back from an injury like that. And I think that you become a little bit, I don't want to say leery of planting on that foot or driving that foot, but you got to get hit on it a couple times. And I think there was some, he pressed a little bit to come back because of the way Nick played and was playing. And I think that compounded into some other things. And unfortunately, we saw the back the next year. And I think that played a lot into it.
What did you do that was different? We heard stories of the good cop, bad cop, approach, you know, where Frank would be one, you would be the other, and that was a good way to get through to Carson. But what was it that you did that no one else has been able to do that differentiated your style and the end result ultimately?
Yeah, I think you know, any quarterback I've ever coached, is there needs to be an accountability. There does, and you know, I give out a coin to the quarterbacks I've coached in the past, and it has a saying on it, and it basically says, when you play this position, you accept the responsibility of the whole building on your shoulders. And we enjoy that. And I took it from a couple of the military guys that have given me their coins in the past. So I created one for the quarterbacks that
I've coached. That's so cool.
And so there's a responsibility there. There's a responsibility to the city. There's a responsibility to the fans. There's a responsibility to every person in that building. And I think you have to hold guys accountable. Mm-hmm. And if it's a single high, two high read, and we go to the wrong side, that has to be pointed out and coached. And I think there has been a lot written about the relationship between Carson and I. And some of the things that have been written as a coach, I will say they are, I'm like, wow, it really kind of really wasn't like that. Were Carson and I going out to dinner and those things off the field? No, we weren't. I think there needs to be a separation between the player and the coach. Mm-hmm. But there, I would say this, Carson and I have a tremendous mutual respect for each other. We have talked and seen each other since both our departures from Philadelphia. And there's always, I mean, if I text him or he texts me, we text each other right back. And there's just a really good mutual respect there. And I think that's a positive player-coach relationship.
What is Doug Nussmeier, the Eagles quarterback coach, what is Doug Nussmeier like as a QB coach? And what do you know of his relationship with Jalen?
Yeah, he's been around, well-traveled, been in a lot of systems. I think the fact that you've seen, I think this is his third stop now with Kellen. They were at Dallas together. They were at the Chargers together, and now they're in Philadelphia. I think that there's a, you know, kind of Frank and I were on the same wavelength in terms of the offense. Mm-hmm. I think he and Kellen are probably on the same wavelength. And whenever you can talk as much of the same language with two different people to the quarterback, I think that's a good thing. So there's a big-time trust there.
215-592-9494. Go ahead, John.
I am so excited to be talking to you, John.
Well, it's a whole thing. Look, let me just say that. Let me do one more thing on Carson, if I may, for a second. Uh-huh. So here's the thing about Carson that disappointed me the most. Because I'm glad you brought up the injuries first, because I agree with you. I don't think people took enough inventory of how dramatically that affected his career. And then obviously we all talked for years, and we'll always talk about the Foles factor, the statue factor, the Super Bowl factor, the coming back from injury, fast factor, all of that, okay? But the thing I never got, once he was back, 18, 19, 20 and all that, why did he feel like he had to hit a 5-run home run every play? You know, that's the thing that drove me nuts. It's like, I know Greg Ward wasn't great, but I can't tell you how many times I saw Greg Ward 6 yards right across the middle of the field open. I'd see Miles Sanders in the flat open, and he just wouldn't throw the ball, the short, easy, let's just start moving the chains. Like, he just wouldn't do that. Right. That's what drove me bananas. Right. And ultimately, I think cost him his job.
Probably did. It probably did. And you know, again, you press. There's times you press. And let's call it what it is. I mean, this is people in this town, and rightfully so, expect perfection out of the quarterback position. And I think when you hear some of those things and you feel the vibe, what's going on. You know if you're playing well or you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I think you try to press and make those plays, and sometimes it's, like you said, it's just easier to check the ball down.
All right, let's go to the – I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
How difficult is it to teach a quarterback that difference between – that balance, I should say, between the aggression and living to play another down? That balance is what Carson was able to do when you were here. You know, the risk reward, it's such a fine balance.
Well, like, it's the challenge with Jalen right now.
Exactly.
Especially with this much, like on 1st and 10, with this talent, not necessarily tonight with no AJ, but generally speaking, this is, and even punts, like, my point is, there's enough talent on this team. I don't want Jalen to feel like he has to hit the 5-run home run every play.
And we're seeing signs already that he's trying to, and it really is like, dude, just be a point guard. Distribute, 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 and they'll go hit their heads on the goalpost. But How did that work?
It all comes back to situational football. There's a big difference between first and 10 and third and six. You know, and what time of the game? What's the score of the game? How well is defense playing? All those things. And you just continuously bring that up. And you, hey, let's take the flat on first and 10. We're better coaches and better quarterbacks on second and two. We all are.
Yeah.
All of us. The whole playbook's open. And here's the other thing. I just thought of something.
That's so simple.
I'm going to do a study. What was the quarterback's year like after he signs a big contract? Because, guys, there is pressure. I lived it with the quarterback that the Eagles are going up against tonight.
Sure.
Okay? Don't think that Kirk wasn't thinking about that $84 million guaranteed contract when he signed, that he had to make a play. We had to win every game. It was super – very rarely when we were the Super Bowl or bust team that year, okay, where Kirk was supposedly the one piece away from the Minnesota Vikings going to the – their winning, you know, going to the Super Bowl
sure.
and winning theirs. So – we're all human. There's guys, there's a lot of pressure on those guys. And I'm not saying it's guys have to handle it better. Some guys have to handle it better because when you're given that, when you're given much, much is expected. And I get that. But guys handle pressure in different ways.
215-592-9494. John DeFilippo in studio with us here, of course. Coach Carson, Coach Nick, and Coach Kirk Cousins, who the Eagles will face tonight. Also a lot on Jalen as well. All right, coming up in 1 minute, back to the phones. A lot of calls here in 1 minute's time. Let me tell you about MHS Lift. You know, here's the deal, guys. We're all obviously hoping for winners from our teams, and we got two different squads going on right now that do have a shot to, you know, win it all this season. Well, let me tell you about a team I know for sure is a winner, big-time winner, the great team MHS Lift that's leading the way in the forklift industry in the Delaware Valley. Andy and Brett Levin and MHS Lift. You know, they've got an award-winning, nationally recognized material handling equipment company that, since 1970, has been offering everything that your warehouse needs, from forklifts and equipment rentals to racking solutions and warehouse optimization. MHS Lift, they do it all. And MHS Lift always puts the customer first with over 100 service technicians on call. MHS Lift maintenance programs ensure that your equipment runs smoothly, minimizing downtime and maximizing efficiency. MHS Lift has a simple mission to provide the best equipment, services, and integrated solutions to keep your operations moving forward. If you are ready to elevate your business, then call MHS Lift and call them today at 888-MHS-LIFT. You can also start with their website, MHSLIFT.com. That's MHSLIFT.com. All right, let's get some calls in here with Chris in Sewell, New Jersey. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, team. Great to have Coach DeFilippo there. And, Joe, you asked Coach a question I was going to ask him, and I'd like to know if I could elaborate on his answer a little bit.
Go for it. Yep.
So, Coach, my question was going to be, how do we get the most out of Jalen? And in your answer sort of alluded to you'd like to see some more design runs to utilize his strength, but I don't mean to challenge you. I have all the respect in the world for you, but is that really sustainable for an NFL quarterback, or could we not maybe use the RPO stuff that you used with Nick, which Nick executed so well, and could Jalen do that kind of stuff?
And let me just throw one more question in, John, before you answer that. Is the RPO thing losing any zip a couple of years into it now? Have defenses caught up to a portion of that?
I would say they've caught up some, and there's different types of RPOs, which, you know, we don't need to get into that clinic tonight, but there's some where you're reading a linebacker, there's some where you're reading the corner or a safety. So there's different types of those. Sure, they're catching up a little bit and reacting to it some, yes. And I think, Chris, that's a great question. I just think that, you know, as we alluded to, you got to be careful about how many of those you do, but I just think with his God-given ability – and he's a big man. I mean, he's a big guy, and you see him break tackles and all those things. I just think, you know, one or two a game to keep the defense honest. I think there are some safer ones you can design that aren't as harmful or is taking a chance with the quarterback as much. I just think the threat of the defense seeing him move, I think that scares those defensive coordinators a lot.
I don't disagree with you, and I do agree that's part of his natural God-given ability that you got to get the most out of. And I'd like to see some play action with Saquon. And how about a little two-back offense, Saquon and
they might.
And Gainwell?
Listen, either two backs or two tight ends. You'll see, you know, two tight ends more because the Eagles a lot of times will do 50% of that anyway. You'll certainly see that a lot. But, yeah, maybe tonight a little bit more two backs. Chris, give me a great answer. Who or what overstayed their welcome?
Well, I got two really good ones in case my first one was taken already.
Yep.
But you want one that's more Philly oriented?
I want your best answer. Overall? What do you got?
Tobias Harris.
Wow.
That's a great answer.
I will say this. He was around longer than Ben.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of a better answer in a
way. I mean, we do know how it ended. A Zippo.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay?
It was hard to believe that he didn't score.
I mean, it was, man.
By accident.
He just really let him down.
You should have been able to get a bucket.
He really, really let him down. 215-592-9494. Well, it's a game day. The Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons, about 11 hours away. Of course, a game you can hear right here on WIP. Marilyn Mike on the call. And look, in one hand, it's probably made a little easier than it otherwise would be because Kirk Cousins doesn't seem right to start this season, coming off that Achilles last year. On the other hand, it's obviously made harder because the Eagles don't have A.J. Brown tonight. And, you know, I would contend he's probably their best player. Matter of fact, I think A.J. Brown is the Eagles' best player. So, you know, that part's difficult. Now, we also know they may not have Johnny Wilson, who played last game a couple snaps, and he's a backup wide receiver, and he's got a hamstring issue also. So they've got to figure out. Now, we know Dotson's going to be the two. That's pretty clear. Eagles obviously acquiring him before the season started from Washington. But then who else? Let's listen to Sirianni the other day, because he talked over the weekend. Frankly, I thought he overpraised some of the former Eagles third and fourth type wide receivers, but you know, that's what he does sometimes. Also, a Sirianni staple comment that, frankly, John, I thought we were past. Let's listen. You'll know it when you hear it.
Yes.
You're going to know it when you hear it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to hear it this year. Apparently, it's still back. Let's listen to Sirianni over the weekend.
I felt good with the guys that have been here. Like, everyone's played their role really well, you know, as far as that room goes. What I think is going to always be unfair to that third guy is, like, are the pass game runs through AJ and Devontae. Like, I don't know how many times I've said the same thing, like, over and over again. Like, the pass game runs for Devontae, AJ, and Dallas. Well, what about the third receiver? The pass game runs through Devontae, AJ, and Dallas. And sometimes that guy gets unfairly judged because he doesn't have the opportunities that other people get.
All right, let me just say this to start. First off, okay, we all understand in past years the ball should go to those three guys the most, obviously, and it did, and that's fine. But you did have a good pass-catching running back last year. He was totally underutilized. John, in no way should the head coach say it runs through those three guys this year when Saquon Barkley certainly could catch 60 to 80 passes this season.
I thought so.
I mean, come on now.
I certainly thought so.
Come on. And I just hated it fundamentally in the past just because the third wide receiver, which typically was Quez, sometimes was Olamide. You had the 1 year with Pascal. I guess he was the fourth guy, whatever. Like, they are part of the offense. I can't stand this. All right, I got my three guys and everybody else is an afterthought.
Jahan Dotson,
I don't like
should
that.
Feel as though, look, we run a lot of personnel groupings with three wide receivers on the field. He should have a lot of opportunities this week.
Listen,
I mean, he has
he should
a chance,
have a ton tonight.
He has a chance to cement himself, yeah, as a part of this offense, like, on a weekly basis.
Well, this is,
if he shows up and shows out.
See, that's
tonight,
the thing.
He's going to get a lot of looks.
Part of sports is when someone gets hurt, you need the next guy to step up, help you win a game. Let's listen to Sirianni over the weekend talking about he's going to get a lot of play tonight. Jahan Dotson.
I feel really good about Jahan. I feel really good about Jahan. I mean, first round pick. Obviously, we traded for him and feel really good about him. He's a smooth route runner, everything like that. I just think sometimes that position is unfairly judged at times just because they don't get the opportunities that these other guys are going to get.
Well, he will tonight. John, is he good?
I just noticed Isaiah Pacheco has a broken fibula.
Mm.
He's which is not the weight-bearing one, so it doesn't matter as much as
that's
the
some
tibia,
big news, though.
But it's still, he's going to be out.
Yeah, he will certainly be out. Is this Dotson guy good, John?
Yeah, he's talented. You have to wonder when a talented guy doesn't do well. You mm-hmm. know, what are the reasons behind it? And we know that there have been inconsistencies with, you know, all sorts of things down there in Washington. So now that he's got the stability of the Eagles organization and this coaching staff and everything and the good players around him, I think you're going to see an ultra-talented young man go off when he gets the ball in his hand. I think he's really good.
Well,
I think
we'll
he's,
say. I, don't
I think he can be elusive. I think he can be I think he can get open, and that matters.
Well, it does. But
catch
look,
the ball, that, you know, that's...
Let's be real. We're going to know a lot more about Jahan Dotson tomorrow morning than we know this morning.
You seem
a
so
lot
skeptical.
More. I am skeptical because the Washington football team dumped him after 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I am skeptical. John DiFilippo,
every
studio
team
with us.
Feels as though he has that ability. He's a first-round draft pick for a reason.
Yeah, but
the measurables were there.
So was Nolan Smith.
The attitude adjustment is maybe all he needs.
Maybe.
I do think this place is a place that can fix guys.
Well, big spot for him tonight. Also, an interesting thing with you know, of course, John DiFilippo in studio with his former Eagles quarterback coach and, you know, OC for Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. So John, let's go inside the Saquon thing as it relates to tonight. So, obviously, the challenge to win this game is made easier if the Eagles lean heavily on Saquon. He's one of the best players on the team. That's clear. To what extent do coaches talk before a game and say, man, it's tempting to give the ball to Saquon 25 times tonight, but we got another game in 6 days. This is only week two. We're trying to get to mid-February. How do you balance that as a coaching staff?
You win the next game. Say
it again.
All you're worried about is the next game. And when the Eagles win this one tonight, then you worry about the next game tomorrow.
I don't like that.
I know, but
because that next game is in 6 days.
I know.
If he touches the ball 25 times tonight, isn't he a lesser player next week? Which is, by the way, this week?
I don't think he is.
Seltzer, you like that next week is this week? You see that?
Good work right there, yeah.
See what I just did right there?
I don't think he's made out of glass, and I don't think he's a lesser player next week if he touches it 25 this.
I saw Miles Sanders wear down in 2022. I saw him with my own eyes be less effective at the end of the year.
Miles Sanders is a far cry from Saquon Barkley.
I agree with you, but there's a wear and tear effect. So, John, you think they go full Saquon tonight?
I think there's a steady dose of Saquon tonight. And I, you know, watching the game last week, that's as explosive as I've seen Saquon. And I've gone up against him a lot, okay? And it just so happens I've gone against him and teams I've been with a lot. And I saw him tear his ACL in Chicago when I was coaching for the Bears against us week two. And so, boy, he looked explosive last week. And the touchdown catch and just, I mean, you have to me, that's the way coaches are wired. That's just the way it is. It's the most important game of our season's the next game because it's the next game. And I know that sounds coach speak, but it's really the truth. And, you know, a wise coach once told me, if you want to get to game seven, you've got to win game six. And so, you know, that's what the Eagles are concerned about tonight. And this would give them two victories in the NFC as well.
Let's get called. We got to get some calls in here for a moment. I haven't taken a call in 45 minutes. TR in Winfield. TR, hello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, TR.
Not much, man. I just hope, man, even though if Brown doesn't play, man, like, I'm not really worrying about it because we got, you know, our coaching staff, you know, they know they're going to use the right.
Can I tell you something, TR? You should worry about it at least a little bit. He's an incredible football player who's had about 3,000 yards through the air in his 2 years combined here, and he's not playing tonight. It's a factor.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, that's a little factor. We can't, but we have our other moving parts too. We still got Smith. We still got all our other
that's
players.
Right.
Lots of talent.
That's right.
Across the board.
Lots.
We need him, but we don't need him 100%. He's good to have on our squad, but, you know, that's like slighting Howie, saying he don't know what he's doing just because Brown's not playing. I mean, I want him to play. I hope he does play to give us more a good advantage, but overall, we still stacked across the board.
We sure are. We have great depth.
But I would not say they're backup wide receiver stacked. I agree with you. Goddard, Saquon, and Devontae is a tremendous – I mean, it's tremendous, right? But, I mean, just know this, man. Like, they pay those two wide receivers a ton of money. When you do that, typically you're not paying a third, fourth, and fifth wide receiver much money at all. And you're going to see at least two of those guys out there a lot tonight.
That's good because we need to get their feet, whatever.
Okay.
We need them to keep, you know, get the repetition, just keep going and going and going. Just getting you getting their
all
feet.
All right, TR, give me an answer here, man. Whoever stayed there, welcome.
If I can pivot, I'm going to say Andy Reid right now.
Andy Reid, wow.
Ooh, that's awful.
That gets the Rhea chuckle right there.
Always does.
Andy Reid, who's got a shot to pass Don Shula for the most wins ever. By the way, John, you think Belichick coaches next year?
Yes.
Has to, right?
Yes. Too competitive. Yeah, I mean, he wants that record.
And you listen to him talk, it's not like the guy is 87 years old. I mean, the guy knows football. He didn't have players the last 5 years. Now, that's his fault as far as picking them. But, I mean, the guy, I mean, John.
Now, it'll be very interesting to see who that is, because that track record in the draft, it'll be very interesting to see the power. If because, in my opinion, just watching coaching hires, owners these days are leery about giving one guy the keys to all the ingredients to the kitchen. So that'll be interesting.
The Giants wanted him for 20 years, and he was in New England. I just think the Giants would be foolish to not jump on it. I it's just like, you have your shot. Just if you're the Giants, go for it. And if you're Dallas, go for it. But that'll be after the season. Mike in Medford. Mike, you're on WIP.
Yes, I want to make 2 points. I'm a big Nick Foles fan. Of all the games played by quarterback, the greatest games, how many of them would belong to Nicky Foles?
Well, three. Let's go NFC Championship game. Let's go Super Bowl. And let's go the game against the Raiders in 2013.
I had a front row seat for that one. I was coaching for the Raiders.
Did you really? 7 touchdowns.
I know. I saw all 7. I can still see all 7 in my mind.
Didn't he have another good yardage game, non-conference game? Non-playoff game, another really good one like that. For some reason, it sticks out.
Well, yeah, the one against Washington in 2014 when Chris Baker took a freaking shot at him, and Jason Peters got thrown out of the game defending Nick, and Nick rose back up and, like a freaking stud, led him to victory. It was unbelievable.
Jason Peters, bless his heart.
That's the one we like, Jason Peters, James. Yeah, that was the pinnacle Jason Peters moment in Philadelphia. Hey, Mike, give me a great answer. Whoever stayed there, welcome.
Sean Bradley. Didn't we pass on Alonzo Mourning for him?
No.
Sean Bradley.
Passed on Penny Hardaway. And the problem with Sean Bradley, I hate to say it, he was really never welcomed here. I mean, we were sort of intrigued. I know he was going to revolutionize basketball, except he wasn't. And they took him over Penny Hardaway, and that was an all-time disaster.
No, he was injured, wasn't he?
Well, it's a very sad situation, yeah. He had a serious, serious neck injury about 2 years ago. I don't know the latest on that, but I know 2 years ago it was not good. So we certainly wish him the best. All right, coming up in a minute, more as we get ready for the Eagles versus Kirk Cousins tonight. That's in 1 minute's time. Hey, let me tell you about United Tire, the latest and greatest deal from United Tire. Always rolling out great deals. And remember, United Tire and service, where you can get great service. You know, right now, you can buy any 4 tires at United Tire. You'll receive a free oil change or a basic 4-wheel alignment to keep those tires wearing correctly. It's a great deal. Nobody beats United. I tell you every day, nobody beats United Tire. You know, the team at United Tire, they care a ton about your car. They know you do as well. You guys know the deal. Take care of your car. It'll take care of you for the long haul. Ultimately, save you money in the end. United Tire knows this. That's why they want to do a great job servicing your car to help service you. So get yourself there. 10 different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. You can find the location nearest you at this website, unitedtire.com. Go to United Tire, unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. All right, as we get set for the Eagles and the Vikings. And by the way, Seltzer, that game that was just referenced might find its way inside a bathtub time machine.
Of Eagles and Falcons.
Oh, Falcons.
You did it again.
I did it again.
It's unbelievable.
Holy cow, man.
It's wild.
He was
so
with the Vikings for so many years. All right, it is what it is. Eagles versus Kirk Cousins tonight for the 12th time. We go inside the Eagles against Kirk Cousins' bathtub time machine. Bad job by me. All right, so incredibly, this is the 12th time they face him. And I hate to say it, John, but Kirk Cousins leads the battle.
This is crazy.
6 wins for Kirk Cousins, 5 for the Eagles. And there have been some bad ones. There have been some stinkers. Let's go inside the bathtub time machine looking at some of the bads. Because Kirk Cousins has gotten them a bunch, including twice in 2015. This was the Houston we have a problem year with Chip Kelly. Week 4, Cousins on fire. 31-46, 290 in a TD. And Chip, and you could just tell the whole thing was falling apart. As Chip's defense, remember that, Chip? Something called defense? Was on the field for 41
Billy
minutes.
Billy Davis!
41 minutes and 8 seconds. And I remember thinking, how is Fletcher Cox going to finish the season? Played like 70 snaps that game. It was a disgrace. All right? And obviously, here's the one good thing about Kirk Cousins. He ended Chip Kelly's time in Philadelphia. Because in December of that year, he beat the Eagles again, 31 of 46, 365, okay? 4 touchdowns, What did Jeffrey Lurie do, Seltzer?
Before the last game.
He canned him.
Pat Shurmur, 1-0, his Eagles coach.
Yeah, that was a Saturday game, and Chip was canned on the Tuesday. Thank you, Kirk Cousins.
We actually appreciate
that. You know, Kirk Cousins also got the Eagles when he was in Minnesota. How about in 2018? You know, this season was not going as expected, and we could tell when the Eagles lost an October game that year, 23-21, as Cousins again, 30 of 37, 301. That dropped the Birds that year to 2-3. He had some big, DeFilippo.
Very happy.
Flip was the OC that game. How about in 2019 when he crushed the Eagles 38-20 with 22 of 29, John, 333, and another four touchdowns.
Precision.
But why, Seltzer, why do we
get rid of the ball in like less than a second every time?
Seltzer, why do we talk bad when there's so much good? There's so much great. When the Eagles fake Kirk Cousins, come on now. How about in 2014, I just referenced it, Nick Foles coming back from that cheap shot by Chris Baker and leading the Birds to victory. Of course, we mentioned that in particular tonight, today, because the Eagles honor him tonight. How about in 2017? You know, it just felt different, and we knew it week one. The Eagles looked fast, they looked powerful, Carson looked great, and Fletcher Cox, he ended the game.
Back again goes Cousins. He's hit. The football comes loose. It's picked up by Cox, and he is into the end zone. Now, is it a fumble, or was his arm going forward? The signal is touchdown, Eagles.
That sealed it up. His Eagles won that game by two touchdowns that day. How about later that season? Carson Wentz at his best. It was a nighttime game. It was a disaster because Jason Peters was lost for the year. Jordan Hicks was lost for the year. But Carson's like, nah, I got this.
Here comes the rush. Wentz, they've got him. They've got him. He escapes. He's across the 30, the 35, the 40. He's got a first down out at the 44-yard line. How'd he do it? How'd he do it?
I thought you said they got him.
They did.
It was
they
a miracle.
He disappeared.
A miracle play by Carson that day, obviously in his best season ever. Let's fast forward to just 2 years ago. Similar circumstances to now. A 1-0 Birds team, week two, Monday Night Football, the Eagles against Kirk Cousins. Who dominated that game? Darius Slay.
Blitz. Cousins to the end zone and intercepted. What a night for Darius Slay.
Look, the bottom line is the Eagles have faced them a lot. 12th time in their history. The rivalry, if you want to call it a rivalry, renewed. The Eagles, the Falcons, the Birds against Kirk Cousins tonight, right here on 94 WIP. And that, ladies and gentlemen, a trip inside the bathtub time machine for this rare Monday morning game day show. All right, great to have John DeFilippo in studio here today. And let me tell you, of course, we did No Time's Yours today, but when we do it, it is always brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Well, John, we appreciate you sitting in for an hour and a half today, man. It's been fun.
Oh, flew by. This has been awesome.
I mean, this is the kind of thing, John, I think, you know, Richie, we could do a lot more longer form here, okay?
Just fantastic talking to you, John.
Yeah,
appreciate it, guys.
So, John, congrats on your career.
Good. Thank you.
And, of course, on behalf of all Eagles fans, the role you had in 2017, we appreciate what you did, man. You literally got the best out of Carson and the best out of Nick.
I appreciate that.
And that's something,
kind.
Man.
And to win a Super Bowl in your hometown. Pretty neat.
I see you sporting that ring. Wearing the Super Bowl ring today.
Had to bust it out.
All right, everyone. Have
boss
a
move right there.
It is.
Earned.
Have a wonderful rest of the day. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be all over talking about it tomorrow. Joe and Hugh, they are up next. Go Birds!